Welcome to the JP Shadrick Podcast. Today is Tuesday, September 12th, and we're getting set for week two of the NFL season. The Jags are scheduled to host the Tennessee Titans Sunday in the home opener for 2017. More on that coming up. The team is back on the ground in Jacksonville Tuesday afternoon after three nights in Houston. And today we'll have a final review of the Jags' win in Houston in week one and a few thoughts about the last few days in Jacksonville during Hurricane Irma. But first, some news from Tuesday afternoon following the hurricane. Mayor Lenny Curry and Jaguars President Mark Lamping held a joint press conference at Fire Station No. 2 on Main Street, and the game will go on Sunday. Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry.
It's pretty eye-opening to see this big trucks with big tires and wheels that can't even get into areas where people are trapped, and then these men and women get out in boats and go in and rescue them. So our city, just at its best, and took care of people. Also acknowledging that we are in our recovery and rebuilding mode now, and we will recover and we will rebuild, and that is happening now. There are people that are still without power, and we understand how painful that is. I'm still without power. A lot of my senior staff are without power. But today we're here with the Jaguars, Mark Lamping, the Jaguars organization, and our first responders. And the Jaguars are a part of the fabric of this city and this community and have been for years, and always step up before there's a time of need and when there's a time of need. The Jacksonville Jaguars will play their home game in Jacksonville this Sunday.
Jaguars President Mark Lamping.
We had a big day today, and thanks to really hard work from SMG, JEA, and JSO for their hard work at Everbank Field. We passed our final inspections today from the National Football League, and we're able to be able to confirm that we'll be hosting the Titans as scheduled on Sunday at Everbank Field. It is so important on so many different levels that we show the world on Sunday that Jacksonville is open for business. And to help deliver a home field advantage on Sunday and provide some relief and a very small measure of reward for so many people that have worked so hard, the Jaguars are going to donate 5,000 tickets to both first responders who have been working so hard, and local residents who have been affected by Hurricane Irma. A portion of that, those 5,000 tickets, will go directly to first responders and volunteer organizations like the ones I mentioned earlier. An additional allotment will be made available via the Jaguars Hurricane Irma relief ticket offer. Residents from the area can go to www.jaguars.com/jacks-as-one to register for these free tickets. They'll be randomly selected. But the Jaguars and Shad Khan will be making a $1 million donation to Florida's First Coast Relief Fund.
It's a really great gesture by the Jaguars organization, and it should be a fantastic scene here in Jacksonville on Sunday. The Jags are 1-0 and are in first place alone in the AFC South. The last opening win came back in 2011. And that 1-0 record was the last time at any point in any season since then that the Jags have had a winning record. Think about it. Pretty much everything promised of this team by the brass came through on Sunday. They controlled the lines of scrimmage on both sides, and they made it look easy at times. They won the takeaway battle 4-0, and they were physically and mentally tougher than the Texans. We start on the lines of scrimmage. On offense, the Jags ran for 155 yards as a team, 100 of those from rookie Leonard Fournette in his first NFL game. And they dominated the Texans' defensive front. Merciless, Clowney, and Watt, well, they combined for only 7 tackles. Clowney and Watt had 1 each. Blake Bortles did have to escape the pocket a few times, but nothing abnormal, but he was not sacked all day long. And for an offensive line group that took a lot of criticism in the preseason, the haters are quiet today, at least. Great work up front, and Fournette credited the front 5 in the postgame locker room.
I know everybody kept talking about how great, you know, the defense was, but I mean, I believed in my O-line. You know, each and every day of practice, just telling them that we could do it. You know, just give me a couple of seconds, you know, and I'm going to take it, whatever they give me. And they did a great job, I mean, an excellent job today, you know, and I guess it's kind of shocking to everybody that it was blocking so well.
On defense, a 10-sack day is hard to beat. It's hard because you can't find it in franchise history. The 10 sacks is a team single-game record, and they shut down the Texans' run game most of the day, and when it was time to throw, Tom Savage didn't stand a chance in the first half. The starting secondary provided tight coverage all day, and the defensive line took advantage. Free agent addition Calais Campbell seems to be well worth the money spent. Team single-game record 4 sacks led the way for him. Yannick Ngakoue added 2 sack fumbles. Dante Fowler Jr. had a sack and a fumble recovery for a touchdown, and it was an onslaught from beginning to end. The Jags D also had 4 takeaways in the game, while the offense did not give it up at all. A +4 turnover margin is virtually unheard of in recent Jaguars history. 3 sack fumbles and an interception, and on one of those sack fumbles, Fowler was standing in the end zone with a football. That's something that needs to become a trend for this defense. Campbell, after the game, had some perspective on this record-breaking performance for the Jaguars defense.
I think it shows the young guys that we can be really good if we just do it the right way. You get to believe a little bit. Sometimes it takes a couple big wins for you to really believe. So I'm excited to see where this takes us. But it's just one win. It don't mean nothing if you don't go out and perform next week.
Finally, the physical toughness was pretty evident, especially in the trenches, but also in the aftermath of the game. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle reported that 5 Texans players were in the concussion protocol following the game. 5. That's partly bad luck, but it's also hard hitting from the Jaguars. The mental toughness was also something that hasn't been seen much in recent years, and it was clear in a couple of ways. A.J. Boye, a new addition to the Jaguars, had a series of pass interference calls, but he kept his cool and kept playing ball. That's one. The other was right after the Texans drove down for a touchdown just after halftime and cut the Jags' lead to 19-7. There was some adversity there, and every single Jaguars fan around the world probably thought, here we go again. But the offense collected themselves, and they drove down the field for a touchdown of their own, opening a 26-7 lead and effectively ending the game. That's big-time maturation for this group. And a lot of that comes back to the physical nature of training camp and the mental toughness of the daily schedule during that time. Doug Marrone kept the guys in the building long, long hours in camp and tested them physically with so many padded practices, post-practice sprints, and much more. And so far, it's paid off. Now the big question, is this a one-game wonder, or is this the start of a trend for the Jags? We'll find out this week when the Jags host the Tennessee Titans. As of right now, though, who cares? The Jags are 1-0 for the first time since 2011, and they're in first place alone in the AFC South. Enjoy it. Another fun part of the day in Houston Sunday, cornerback A.J. Boye mic'd up for Jaguars.com against his former team. Take a listen.
Alert over! Hey, here come Gil! Alert over!
Savage drops the throw, throws it over the middle, a little crossing route, ball's tipped, and incomplete again. Very good coverage.
Yeah! Mike, I'm on him! Come on, man! I'm on you!
Give me a warning about you guys for joining the bench. Their bench.
That was me.
And let's go to another level.
Alert the butt.
Check out the full A.J. Boye mic'd up segment on Jaguars.com. Now to the state of Everbank Field for this week's game. Jags employees got back in the building for the first time Tuesday, and the office was finally open for business after being completely shut down since the weekend. There were a few leaks around the offices, but nothing too out of the ordinary there. There are some panels missing from the video boards, and some of the equipment that runs them took a little bit of water. The boards might not be running full capacity this week for the Titans game on Sunday. The flooding overtook some of the parking lots and streets around Everbank Field, but for the most part, the water stayed outside of the building. There was a camera shot on CBS 47 during the storm looking inside Everbank Field from the tower, and all you could see was the crown of the field in the middle. The rest was underwater, it appeared. The plan is to play the game as scheduled at Everbank Field this Sunday. Due to the Jaguars situation after Hurricane Irma, there are a few programming changes this week. Tuesday night, Jaguars All Access Television moves a night later on CBS 47. At least as of this podcast, Mellow Mushroom in Avondale, the regular site for the show, is still without power after the storm. So the show will originate from Everbank Field. That's at 7 o'clock. Jags Wired Television moves to Thursday night at 11:35 on Fox 30, where you can get inside the huddle access from last week's win. That show normally airs on Tuesdays. The Doug Marrone Show on radio is scheduled for 6 o'clock Thursday night, with Jaguars Thursday radio following at 7. That's all on 1010XL Radio, Jaguars.com, and the Jags app. Also coming up this Thursday, another podcast to get set for the Week 2 game against the Tennessee Titans. And finally, some thoughts about the last couple of days. There are thousands of folks in our area that did not come out well from the storm, and it's going to take a long time for them to get back on their feet. Power is still out in many areas of Jacksonville and North and Central Florida, and even in South Georgia for that matter, and officials say the flooding along the river could continue over the next few days, but should in time diminish over the next week or so. I watched the live television coverage of the rescues in Riverside on our TV partner Action News Jax and saw civilians coming to the aid of citizens stranded near the river. A family owned a military-grade truck with four-foot wheels and rolled around the neighborhoods looking for anyone who needed assistance. This is on top of what the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office and Jacksonville Fire and Rescue Units and the National Guard were doing on their own. But later in the night Monday, television coverage showed civilians with chainsaws working into the night to get trees off neighbors' houses. It's quite a dangerous task in the daylight hours, but much more dangerous in the dark of night without power. The bottom line, though, it's great to see so many folks in the Jacksonville area come together and help each other at a time of need. Well done, and let's get through this week. The reward at the end of the week is the Titans-Jaguars game this Sunday at Everbank Field. We'll talk to you later in the week. Thanks for listening to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.